It is now time for the program, Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, as we say good evening to the host, Mr. Sluggy Dan.
Greetings, greetings, manners and respect. Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, 6:30 p.m. All of you, I want you to load up something Bajan for me. Load up something Bajan. Let me give it to the people, then we're going to come back, introduce the guests, speak about the topic, and open up the floor to everyone. 434-1790, 434-1790, Oliver Norville, your boy, Uncle Sluggy, Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. All you ready? We can get them some little magic and get back to them.
Yes, Sluggy, you asked for some performances from NIFCA, and you wanted something Bajan. So here's some Aussie Moore from the Society Primary.
What are we talking about?
It's coming up from the Society Primary School.
Love it.
Give the call. confidence to talk more. Oh, oh! New Litterin! Vain Catarakavan! Vain Catarakavan! And in the man I'll hug!
Sealtree!
Society Primary School with Anansi meets Ossie Moore. And the year was 2003, Sluggy. And just letting you know.
2003, Ollie?
Yes, sir. Just letting you know, we do have Lou the Bajan here with us in the studio. So.
Oh, big up to my buddy Lou in studio. You know, just keep Lou close to me. You know, he got lots of youngsters, but. Lou's one is particularly keep close. You know, he wants to be a creative and he loves Bajan culture, but he also loves streaming and online and YouTube and these different streaming services and connecting both worlds. So shout out to all the youngsters who see it fit to choose me as a mentor. It's still crazy to me. It's still wild, but you know, Ollie, I embrace it. It's something I don't run from and I appreciate you being accommodating as well. You know, a lot of folks our age is turning them away, but we can't continuously turn them away. We gotta find a way to keep them engaged. So big up to Loop on the inside of all the youngsters locked on again. Lots of messages already. Thanks, Ollie. Give the listeners the primary school again and the year.
Certainly, Society Primary School. It was 2003, and the name is Anansi meets Ossie Moore.
20 years ago, Ollie and. Listen to it now, I still like it. Yeah, still sound it. Fresh. I just love it. Story is still making people laugh as bad as ever. The creators of my land, Anansi meets Ossie Moore. Who would have thought Anansi would ever meet Ossie Moore? I absolutely love it. This evening we got a good show plan. While asking a simple question, but first, let me say we have an honorable Trevor A. Prescott with us on the show with us this evening. You have honorable Corey Lane, MP for the city of Bridgetown, minister in the state attorney general's office, responsible for crime prevention, knowing national peace program. We have educator and producer and musician, Mr. Randy Eastman on the inside with us as well. 4341790, 4341790 was having some problems with the lines. I'm not sure if the lines backup has yet. Big up to Cog messaging already. Big ups to Ryan messaging already. Andrew messaging already. My boy straight up on the outside. Thanks for your love and support. As soon as 9:30 hit, all these people be by the radio waiting, messaging. I absolutely love it. So I want to say good evening to you, gentlemen. Good evening, gentlemen, and thanks for coming on. Beijing Radio, my Ryan. Good evening to Minister Lian, Mr. Prescott, Randy Eastman. Song, please song your voice today, making sure that everything working good and they're getting when they're correct. Good evening.
Good evening, Uncle Sluggy. Can you hear me? Check, 1, 2.
Yes. Randy, you good?
Yes,
come in, brother Trev.
Okay, yes,
good. Well, yes, Pressy.
Entire family.
Yes, good evening. You know, Bible say a church, I lead them. So I started with the youngest, Mr. Randy Eastman. I would believe that from all back in 2003, he would have been in a part of NIFCA somehow, or a party celebration somehow. Randy, hearing something from 2003 and the crowd, nobody was hearing the audio in and out, and hearing the audience keep so much noise and loving it so much, and it was all Beijing, knowing Beijing dialect performed by youngsters at the time. How something like that makes you feel, having been a part of NIFCA for so many years, from a child, and then going on to be an adult and as a teacher responsible for children, how hearing pieces like that makes you feel, my brother?
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, bro. The team panel. It truly is an honor to be part of this. Just to get to the answer to the question, it brought a plethora of emotions there for me. Like you said, being a part of NIFCA from a child, you know, it took me back to the practice sessions, the teacher inspiring you and trying to get you motivated to remember the pieces, the nervousness to get on stage. And then again, as an educator, reversing the role now, preparing children for NIFCA, you know, and then as a member of the audience, watching the performances and really trying to relate to the pieces that were written, thinking on our culture, what these stories really meant as it relates to us as a people, me as a human being, and the wider society. And another segment was there because the voice sounded familiar. I didn't want to dare say that it sounded like young Jabari Brown, who's now an MC.
Yes, it does. Randy, it does. You. This school in St. Philip.
Same thing you say, society, does it say John?
In St. John, where? We go off, I know that's true. No, you say so. No, you say it does sound like Jabari.
Jabari, the inflections and the tone and the time of the voice give me a memory of Jabari, because I know Jabari from a little boy as well. You know, being around his family for years, been around the Lipots for years. So there was a whole plethora of emotions there with that particular piece. That's from my perspective.
Yes. Nice. Good evening, Pressy, Mr. Prescott. How are you? Hearing pieces like that in our vernacular, in our dialect. And you having been a part of things like that, is your level foundation for many years, would have been in NIFCA. You yourself would have started Dance Fest, which was a community initiative, you know, and for similar reasons. When you hear pieces like that, what sort of emotions does it invoke on you? And why is it important to have things like that? Because 20 years later, that teaching me history, it teaching me culture, and it taking me back to a time. Even thinking about my favorite cricketer, we talk about in Zamam, that was my favorite cricketer from a child coming up. So this does so much things for me, but I want to know for you,
having been a part of things like that, having started things like that, what sort of emotions does it evoke in you? And why is it important for us to have similar things like that for our communities?
Well, thank you, Sluggy.
You're welcome, buddy.
And thank everybody who is participating. I like a lot of traditional stuff, what some people describe as folk stuff, because I believe that we are rapidly drifting away from the culture of our own people because of the influences, the external influences on our culture. And in many cases, when people begin to talk about traditional characters, in our mind, we see them as eccentric individuals, and the story, the reflection of backward people, that only backward people relate to these things, in Gearbox, all the different characters, a Nazi, but they want to see Superman, they want to see Spider-Man, and so
on. Oh, yes.
And sometimes some of these characters that are considered to be outstanding Western stars, so to speak, they're really the genesis of the stories coming from all back as far as Benanzi.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I'm still very interested in seeing us redress those cultural imbalances, those cultural things that are relegated to a backward position or secondary to what we normally see in the Western world. And that has inspired me. I can't even remember from how far back. I normally took a number of groups to NIFCA. I worked with them. I made sure I bring in the specialists to work with them. I normally try to direct the stories, try to write some of the stories in relation, especially in relation to dance. Most of the people that came through the Israel Lovin Foundation will tell you that everything that they did, they had to break down every body movement in language, because they had to see that, I had to see them being able to internalize the story. And one of the things that I would love to see again is artists looking to see how we can restore what is considered to be the mass culture to the center of the society itself. And it's more so important to me, not only from the perspective of the Israel Lovin Foundation and Dance Fest, but more so because of the position which I hold in government now as responsible for reparations. Reparations about also repairing of ourselves. The damages have been done to us by others, but we also have to contribute to self-repairs. And self-repairs mean that I have to do all that I can to pull that African strand back to the center of our reality.
Oh, yes, I love it. And Minister Lane, good evening, sir, and thanks for coming on. Sir, initiatives like NIFCA, like community independence celebrations, like the Spirit of the Nation shows, initiatives like that, what sort of emotions, listening or watching or being a part of those things, what sort of emotions come over you being a part of it or watching or listening to it? And why is it important for us to continue things like that?
Thank you very much, Sluggy, and good evening to everyone.
Yes, please.
Shout out to Ollie. Ollie, I can call on you soon as the ref, because you see, starting with youngest, he start with Randy. Randy is 2 months and 19 days older than me. So
yes, he is. Yes,
he is. I call him foul.
You're correct. No, you are absolutely correct. The thing is, I know both of your birthdays, month, and year.
That's what it's all for the rest.
So, I Minister, I ever got an excuse. I can't ever say, man, I don't know what a birthday is.
You see, Press, he has to start with a fold for he know he can get those stats, right?
Yes, yes.
But just like that VOB background bring nostalgia for me, being in that place, right? When I heard that, it brought me back to not 2003, but 2001, when it was parish ambassador for St. Michael, working
for St. Michael
level and all different organizations. The thing I used to get goosebumps and, you know, watching the shows as a parish ambassador, the parish talent, the spooge, the folk music, the acting.
Yes. Yes.
I used to always ask myself, why isn't this available for me? As Percy spoke about, the repairing of self is about seeing self and that reflection.
Mm.
And they always felt as though we didn't have that confidence to show ourselves. I grew up in the era of Beijing bus stop and these sort of actions and so on, right? These sort of plays and different things. And
yes.
As an ambassador at the time, it was the late Prime Minister Owen Arthur and the Minister of Culture within the office of Prime Minister Glenn Murray at the time that helped me as an ambassador to understand what culture 19. Is.
You know about that time, boy.
Wakina is weak culture, but Wakina is not only our culture. Culture is not even only in the entertainment sphere of how we project ourselves.
Exactly. But
it is culture is the way you do things, you know. The way you
build
the way you dress. Correct. The way you do everything collectively is what's your culture. I can share a story with you from 2001 that really helped me to tune in to culture and keep tuning to culture. Mm-hmm. The parish ambassadors organized their own motorcade and drive after, because we were really, really close together at that time, right? And I remember we were passing through this district in St. Joseph, and there were 22 of us. There were probably like 8 cars or so. And I remember Chad Blackman and I, we were at the front. Ambassador Chad Blackman. And we put our Barbados flags out through the window, and every single car in our motorcade put those Barbados flags out like it was choreographed. And that Barbados flag and that unity at that point in time driving through that district and how the community responded, right, never left me. That's the speeches, and they said, as I say, the folk songs and all the different acts right across Barbados from in the underbelly. I ain't talking about just the big performers, from the underbelly performing their interpretation of what Barbados is has never left me from 2001 to now, Sluggy. That is the truth. So I get really emotional and I feel very nostalgic.
No, that's so interesting. And when you explain what culture is, you know, it's always got bigger, Ronnie Clark and Randy. But when they start Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme, Corey, Minister, you know, I was only thinking about music, right? Like being completely honest, although from 3 years ago, from the first episode, I never get to focus on music. The show changed. But because of a conversation Ronnie had with me, that Randy Eastman was always pushing in my ear, because you could ask Randy when you think about culture, he's always thinking quite like Walking Up Bad. Mm-hmm. He's always thinking Walking Up Bad, Bashment. But Randy used to always say everything is culture, Sluggy. The way we talk, the way we socialize,
the way we cook our food.
I just say, you know, pretty much it is the way of life in an entire society.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It includes codes of manners, dress, language, religion. You know, when you think of it, it includes music, theater, art, cricket, oral traditions. There's nothing that you can leave out when it comes to culture. So the general and broad definition would technically be the way of life for an entire society.
Yeah, right? That brilliant, Ronnie, and that helped me to change my school up. Yeah, but I would must admit to the minister. And yes, go ahead, Trevor. Go ahead. You don't got to, sorry. You can interrupt me, Trevor. Anything.
Huh?
You can interrupt me. You don't got to, sorry.
Everything is culture.
Yes.
But if you are historical.
Then why do we think so limited, including myself? It was like that. I can admit on air. I just think music. Why is our scope so limited when we think about culture?
But because you were focusing more on that at this specific time. If you look at the definition, as Randy said, you will see how wide the definition, though. It's like a, it is an umbrella that takes almost everything that we do, the way we do it, all these things into consideration. It also, it is even the intangible aspects of our life as well.
Correct. Yes, yeah.
But the culture. But the problem, and Barbados culture is unique, like all cultures are unique, but cultures are influenced and cultures are suppressed.
Both. You say cultures are both influenced and suppressed.
And they're suppressed. And if you know the history, the history of the Caribbean and the history of the enslaved, you will know that important features of our culture were suppressed.
Yeah.
But the greatest...
Well, so that's why these things are important.
That is why some cultures are perceived as inferior cultures. Like even in dance, even in folk, and so on, cultures are considered to be mass cultures, especially in the Western world, when mass we are judged by Western Eurocentric standards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So people like dance would not send their children to learn to walk up.
Oh, but don't do ballet. But they'll send them to learn ballet and ballroom.
Send them to learn ballet. And we buy the most expensive clothing and shoes and try to make people dance on their toes. And try to make you believe and try to make sure you got your hands outstretched.
It's a little laughing.
Right? And got your boxy tucking.
Yes.
If you want to be good. If you want to be a good dancer.
But it's true.
It's true.
And in some cases, I'm not saying that black people can't do ballet, but I'm saying if you look at it at the universal level, the outstanding dancers who do ballet are not. We have a few outstanding dancers, but the majority of them by far are people probably from a European cultural background.
Yeah, which is fear, because that's their culture, which is fear.
Right.
That Trevor, is it not, can you not correlate it to body structure, body type, mental influence, which was designed for that? The dance itself was designed. So it's almost like Barbadians trying to sing reggae. We'll never be supremely authentic to it because it is not ingrained in us like a Jamaica.
But even if we do it, we're going to do it in a unique way.
Because
it can be a mirror of us.
Exactly.
Yes. It can be a mirror of us. So my view is that we have not spent enough time focusing on this because we just believe that this is our culture. And I'm saying that the culture was deliberately, some parts of our culture, the Afrocentric strand of it, was suppressed from very early. You couldn't play drums. Even your own kind of sluggy, I know you say you like waka. And I was talking with Gilo. At the time, Gilo was talking to me about, he was working in Costa Rica. And Gilo told me that he was making thousands of dollars as a result of teaching people how to waka.
Wow.
And I've heard people who consider themselves to be cultural specialists in Barbados. Trying to say we should not allow children to walk up.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there's a limitation,
and of course
that limitation does not fall within the definition of what is walking up. We describe it in our own dialect, but vulgarity, indecency is indecency.
Exactly.
But truth. I don't think that any minister, any cultural agency would ever be able to suppress waking up. It is an art. I saw people in Uganda doing something, but it does not look like what we do.
But Trevor, go further. I see people in oysters that don't look like white people in particular trying to walk up, and that's how I realize that walking up is an art. Some people just stay at the body, and some people just walk up.
Yes, yes.
We have to cherish it. We have to cherish it. Some of us got to try to preserve these things. Mm-hmm. But there are always people there that anything that has its origins on the African continent or even on the Asian, even in Asia, there are always people out there trying to push it back.
Sluggy, I want to say something here. I want to
go ahead.
I want to show the minister what he said and expand the cusp of the definition that he gave earlier, where he said it is influenced and is suppressed. But it also influences, because if you look at what Minister Lane said just now, he goes to oysters and he sees tourists trying to walk up. So our culture has influenced them. And if you correlate that then to Jamaica, where reggae is a language, where people want to do the reggae culture, they want to be Rastafarian, they want to, you know. So this is something that we need to look at. We need to hone it and realize, you know what, people are looking at our culture. We are influencing other cultures and influencing people to want to attach to what we do. You know, so
that's
a good point.
That's not what we want to extend that definition. Not that only is it influenced, and not only does it is it suppressed, but it also
yes, so true. 434-1790. The phone line is going crazy already. People having a discussion. Ollie can take Ollie, you got someone on your line still?
Yeah.
They know how it is in there. Oh yeah, good. I just had to mind.
Yes, great. How are you,
good evening. State your name and state which part of Barbados are you?
Yes, great evening, Sluggy.
Yes, please.
This is Cog, Kingdom of God, DJ Cog, and I'm here in St. James.
Yes, salute to everyone in St. James.
Calling. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And thanks for showing up before as well. Calling from an area near Warrens that is bustling with what? With culture. I have a question for the minister. I just want to give my definition.
Okay, go ahead.
My definition very quickly is that culture is the collective mores, values, morals, rights, and rituals of a people that
rituals
to the time. Yeah, ritual as well. Yeah, even in the rituals that we do, it culture spans everything, and it's everything to,
okay,
to,
go
to,
ahead.
To a society. Yeah, thanks. It's everything to a society that is bent on being unique, that is bent on being one in terms of oneness, rather than being rather than taking you would want a good, tender, firm love in terms of loving culture and loving crop over that kind of thing.
You have a question. Give us the question. What is the question?
So to the minister, what about if we and when I'm asking, are we gonna be like ourselves, not like anybody else, but that we promote in terms of being like Midas, where everything we touch is like magic? Because we need to put not only utilize the roundabouts at Independence and Christmas, but I think we ought to use the roundabouts all year. And my question is, when can we start to use like the traffic lights, the all of those overheads? When can we really get the message of Barbados and who we are as a people and saying this is who we are out there, so that it would then pertain to a better marrying of culture and tourism in terms of having a product that is even beyond.
So when are we going to promote? You want to know from the minister, when are we going to promote Barbados more all year round? That you want to know from the minister?
Well, especially to start, because we have to, but especially to start with the roundabout, with the traffic lights, and
okay, hold on. Yes. All right, just hold on.
Thanks,
man. Thank you. Just hold on. And Minister Lane, is that a question you can answer?
This is how we will answer it. You know, I almost say, Carl, we got a technical issue, and if I guess not, brass out. Yeah. Don't be kidding. Every time we say so, there was a technical issue. Okay.
You're too kind.
But to answer the question, right, I think it is dangerous to even just start to look at this from a governmental perspective. I think that if we really want to infuse culture and understand and promote and have our culture influence, it must start with each of us.
Yeah.
I take the caller's point, though, and I'm sure this is something that I can get Brother Prescott to raise in parliamentary group meeting, but he has a very significant voice in that setting for the minister of transport and works and environment that's responsible for the roundabouts, that we can do something all year round. Yeah, I won't go as far as it. We say the traffic lights and so on. Because the thing is, I was saying we should make them blue, yellow, and black, right? But at the same time, remember, we still in an international community, and we want that when people come here, everybody can understand what they're doing on the roads. They don't want too many distractions. But I believe that any part or anything that we can do to promote our culture, who we are, 365 days a year, unless it is a leap year, and in 366, I think we should do. And I want to hear Brother Preston on this too as well.
Yes, yeah, I would like to hear Preston on that as well.
Well, I think that what the brother must understand is we only consider ourselves to be independence in 66, and in more recent times, why consider to be an additional step forward on the independence transition occurred with the introduction of a Republican status. Prior to that, lots of the symbols that we were seeing were colonial symbols. So the flag was colonial before 66. The anthem was colonial before 66. And many things, in fact, we should have seen a rapid change in the reflections of the psyche of Barbadians in the debate on Republican status. But
yes,
we are now trying to move as rapidly as we can. You would have seen in recent times a massive mural on Springer School Wall. And we are trying to work through the Ministry of Culture, Prime Minister's office. We are trying to work on murals across Barbados. We are trying to put up a number of symbols. So you're going to see those transitions occurring. As Corey said, I would love to see some of our fine artists, some of our people in the performing arts. I'm seeing Gabby, I'm seeing one or two other persons writing some good material that is a mirror of whatever we are as a people. He concentrates on that. I would like to see some more of it, because we want to put our music in its unique form and make it competitive with other music across the entire world. If sometimes we can sing other people's music or lyrics, but in some cases, we don't sing it as good as the people who it belongs to. I would feel better if we begin to say, this is Barbadian, like Jamaica said, this reggae is ours.
Yes.
We got to hold it together. Trinidad said the same thing about his calypso. And although other people sing calypso and soca, these people preserve it, and it is mirrored as
the
Trinidad.
The preservation of the culture.
Not only the state must take on these responsibilities, but unless the state educates its citizens on what it is that they are trying to do, then it is unlikely that the citizens will respond in the way that they ought to. But Corey said that it is not only the state that must do it.
Correct.
But unless that level of consciousness, and I believe that when we got to independence, that we should be having serious debates about our culture. And I talk about education, the concept of educational reform is also within the context of our culture.
Trevor won't come in here again. Ali, I don't know if we got the caller on still, because I don't know, Trevor, know people are. I am not saying that the state will even absorb itself, because as we speak, there was a place in town where they had a man named Nelson.
Of course.
And it is this administration that removed him, and they are building, as we speak,
true.
Reflection of the family. Now, you know what I figured? At first, I had historians come to me and say, listen, we should put up the mayor of the city, Motley, there. We should put this person, that person, political people. But you know what? I cannot feel better to know that for once, ain't always about politicians. We put the reflection of the people that's passed there every day. There is a monument being constructed there called The Family, reflection of ordinary Barbadians. And if your hands strong, Travis, you could throw far a stone. We aren't encouraging anybody to throw no stones. If you throw a stone, throw away from there, we got Golden Square Freedom Park with Clement Payne, man. And not only Clement Payne as the reflection of the person, but on the walls, it got every last name of Barbadians, according to the archives in 1627 to now in Barbados, on the wall in Golden Square Freedom Park. That is the moves that the state, I don't want, if the caller still there, want to know if he reflect on these things. Because, you know, we curse and complain and we still waiting there and waiting there.
Yeah, but we got to speak. We got to be equal. Hear how
the public feel about those things.
Well, yes. Gentlemen, yes, I want to say, I just want to let you know, we do have DJ Cog on the line. We also have another caller. Sluggy had asked me to get some NIFCA performances lined up. I have one from Carl Padmore, and he's actually on the line waiting to join us too. So let's go let's go back to DJ Cog for him to wrap up, and then we could bring Carl in.
Let me let Cog wrap up. Cog, you can wrap up. Let me go over to Mr. Carl Al Padmore.
Yeah, I'll wrap up.
Your closing remarks.
I'll wrap up by saying this. I was a NIFCA award winner. I won a medal, a bronze, for my piece of tribute to Usain. It was a point to Usain Bolt. Now, in Jamaica, when Jamaican music is played here at the same time, and we at our cup over only play the music the year after. In other words, there in Jamaica or St. Lucia or any of other our CARICOM neighbors only hear the music the year after. We need to have that level of unity so that we can thrive to be more cultural in terms of helping CARICOM. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're most welcome. You're most welcome. What does Bajan culture mean to you? What do you think of most when you hear the words Bajan culture? Do you remember NIFCA? What is your favorite memories from NIFCA, if any? And what does things like this mean to you? 4341790, your favorite Uncle Sluggy on the nation's number one station of DOB 92.9 FM. We have the Honorable Trevor Prescott. We have educator, producer, and musician, and my management, Mr. Randy Eastman, on the line. We have Honorable Minister Corey Lane as well. Good evening. Welcome to Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. Thank you so much for calling in.
Good evening.
Good evening, my brother.
Hey, good evening. You have me nervous now because anytime I'm speaking in such company, I get nervous.
You're always big and bad, bro. You're always big and bad. So you like when you're nervous because you're always big and bad and bold. So you're glad we got your plenty rocks. So God be here this evening.
One morning, I'm Corey Lane, my friend, said, no, but you're fat. So he told me next morning, I have to call him sir. You know what I'm saying?
Love it,
listen,
man.
Go listen to Carl. I'm Padmore here.
Go, Corey. Ball him out, Corey. Ball him out, minister.
He know my name is Forever Corey, so he don't pay any money. Forever Corey.
But hold on. Sluggy.
Yes, sir.
Corey Lane.
Yes, please. Minister Corey Lane.
No. I call him Corey Lane right now first. Who is the person that put him on stage? The first person to put him on stage, what was that about?
Ooh, we gave back
now. That was about our culture.
Oh, nice,
as
boy.
As a backup singer dressed in mad modeling costume and turned up the whole of Lester Vaughan, man. What's like, you know what me and Ron? It's like,
it's true. It's
true. You think true. I only thought I sing like that too?
Yeah, you're no Canton.
I ain't no Canton.
I was saying the Virgin Atlantic, since I sent, and they had an in-house competition. I think to the in-house competition, but I believe the judges were truthful because they were fresh devils. We would have won because in terms
of, I agree.
In terms of here. In terms of call and response, use of team, we destroyed them.
Mash at the place.
But I'll get
as my management there, boy, put me on stage. Carl, I've had more manners and respect.
Love it.
To know from when I was 10 years old, I was in culture now 40 years. My mother did something that at first I couldn't understand, but it had served me a good sense. So, my mother's one of these mothers that can't like to deform her son. On Sashibu's 10th in 1983 was at Princess Margaret School, or primary, as we will call it. At that time,
4 years ago, boy.
Yeah, at the time of the 10th, that the admission was only like $5 and $10, and we all know that 10 was like $10. The way I think. And my mother would take me, would sit down up front with her, and I would see these different, let me call them, acts unfolding before me. So you had the Matt Fingal, who was larger than life doing this comedy and anything, which at first he could understand, but the people laughing. And he brought the business to it. You had these different characters in the tent playing different roles, reflecting.
And you were seeing this as, and this when you were a child, Alf, just to be clear, this when you were a child,
old,
like, at a 10-year-old. So speak to what seeing that meant to you.
It was like, whoa. And believe it or not, when I could say, I said that early, I want to be like one of them on stage. I didn't know which one. I want to be like one of them. But what was ingrained in me, as I got older, the writing style of Plastic by the use of the language and how he would write, say something to me. The comedy
use of our language.
And I was like, how? And then you see the whole idea of communicating, because if you look at the Untouchables in those days, each person on stage had a role, reflected a different part of Barbadiana, and reached out to the audience and communicated something. Because culture communicates. Mm-hmm. So if you look True. At Bahadrung and Untouchable, those had a following that was amazing, where people would go to Dover Convention Center at 6 o'clock for a show that started at 8. Because they had a following. It was all, I'm sure your friends can tell you that even with Gabby with Josh, or sorry, Charles, we parked all up by Belmont from the home to get down there for our judging night. Because
and this is to witness Bajan culture.
Yes, to stay on stage. So you have a Gabby.
I love it.
Rubber Man, all of these characters, as people will call them, Cuba, mm-hmm. reflected some aspect of who we are.
Of Bajan culture. I love it.
Now, I had asked my mother, how did I get how I was? I did not know at the time that there's a part of my family who was deep into comedy and drama. When I became 12 years old, I met a lady called Myrna Squires. You ever heard that name, Suggy?
Yes, please.
Myrna Squires is my cousin, and I'm a distant cousin, which means that that's part of me. And then you have something called Bincha.
Yeah, yeah.
And people should go to Bincha at Carbomere School. Again, as a little boy, I'm watching these people on stage, not understand. I'm watching my own family, and at school, I would win competitions, and people would say, but you're very funny, and I would say, but not to me. But I was reflecting what was happening around me, my environment, this, that was happening. NIFCA became a platform for me to express what was happening around me. That is why I have a problem. When I hear Calypsoni song, try to song and phrase it to me, that is, we got to tell them, your culture is you, phrase like you, write like you. Your music must be you. Jamaica's
music
is theirs and must reflect them.
And this should be everything. This should be in everything, the movies we create.
Trevor Francis was pushing something. A lot of people thought, oh, he's pushing this black thing. He wasn't pushing black thing, you know. He was pushing who he was and who he believed we ought to be. So when you had
his
beloved foundation coming up, and there had, I mean, a vibrant dramology program down there, a vibrant theater program. If you go to Israel Love, there's a type of R&P theater pit inside there. So when Trevor Francis and those were doing this thing, what Trevor doing to ingrain people, he had a right to, you know why? Because even in secondary school now, you cannot tell me 5 secondary schools that teach Bajan history. I'm not talking about Bajan proverbs. We have Caribbean history. And we have history in general. But I am talking about Bajan history, where our children understand who we are. I talk about as a subject. I talk about
I heard, Alf, I heard Minister Lynn mention the Bajan bus stop. And when he mentioned that, it was just wondering in the morning how many school children is get to watch back and see the Bajan bus stop and the brilliance, you know, and that was all depicting Barbadian culture, but it was something that you know, that I want to watch.
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, them is things that I would never miss an episode. I would have read that next to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You know what I mean? Like,
I want you to know, she's still alive. A lot of people are still alive. When last we featured them, even in a little interview, to say, look, these are the builders. Listen to me. There's a fella who's the choreographer for His Beloved. He's one of the best in the world. You see Kevin Carvalho?
Carvalho?
You ever seen Carvalho, the world,
yeah.
In the world, actor, festival. He's talking in the world, you know?
Yeah, Carvalho won enough. Carvalho won enough awards, and it's good too.
You see Tony Thompson in the world, but we don't feature yeah. these people at all. It's about in the world. These people, Victor yeah. Clifford,
Shaq and McNeil.
Listen, you understand that out of Parkinson School, and you know you get personal, and you and Randy.
Shout out to Maronas. Shout out to Maronas too.
So you see Earl Warner. You see Earl Warner. If you ask an average kid, student, they probably know who he was. I'm not only the school at Parkinson, but he rose to be one of the top theater practitioners in the Caribbean. Ask how many of them know that.
Because yes, it's true. And we, hold on a second. Randy, I want to bring in Mr. Eastman here. Randy Eastman, come in if you are still there on mute. I'll come in a second.
Hey, my brother.
Yes. So you know you taught music at Parkinson for a little while. You used to always, because you always hear these... Yes, you used to always hear these unique things about Parkinson. I've just mentioned one. You used to mention something about Parkinson that was not widely known as well. There will be created some desk there or something was created.
The art room, the desk that is in the art room, the national flag was designed initially on that table.
The national flag of Barbados.
Yeah, the initial design was done on that table, the draft.
It's something that I didn't know. I didn't only know a couple years ago. Minister Wayne, Reverend Randy, told me that, and he was talking about it. Was like, while Randy was talking about it, I was saying this, saying that I feel everybody should know, though. Like, this everybody said that
we're going to be in the room with me. I'm glad I had it on mute. Call them, but I know what I need.
So, Randy, you see what you say, Randy, like, them things that. Yeah, they think that, like, speak about that, Randy, like, knowing something like that, and it's used for to spread it as much as possible.
Randy got more licks, because one of the people in room sort of went school there, and they didn't know that. Imagine that.
It is
that a thing. That way you was traveling, saying we can't got pride in ourselves. They start with knowledge and knowing and respecting on who we are and what we have done.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, that education has to be determined within the context of the culture in which we live.
Because Preston,
who designed the flag, the house is just adjacent there to the bust statue.
Correct. But it was just
I'm trying to get the government to preserve some of these buildings. If you see the architecture, it's a very unique architecture. And it's unique to Barbados in general.
Wait, you say the house, you said his house is just adjacent to the bus statue?
Yes. Correct. Yes.
And this is a man.
We're going to preserve that house, boy.
This is a man who taught at Parkinson.
Correct.
He taught at what was called St. Barnabas, no called Grantley Presto School. They renamed that school.
Yes. Yes.
There was not enough discussion on the creativity of Prescott.
Yeah, we should know at that house. We should know at that table there. Like we should know. Like we should know. Special, like
he was
Prescott being there. I'm talking about the work that he did. He worked with the Ministry of Education. And these are things a chap. Somebody caught on the program asked about important symbols around the boats and different little things like that.
Yes, please.
I'm saying that because of the changes since 66, and more so with the Republican status, what you're doing here is far more than even credible. At least having a conversation like this.
Yeah, it's true.
Right, and trying to encourage people to engage in conversation like this, so that you can, as was said, how many people or young people today know Earl Warner?
True.
How many young people know Garvin Carvalho?
Do you know that Earl Warner's sister is still alive?
Yes, but it is.
Whoa, I didn't know that, Randy. I didn't know that, Randy. To be honest,
Emma.
So people in the arts. must also try to lift up persons in the arts who were the pioneers, pioneers in the evolution of the culture itself.
Yes.
And so you can't forget the Draytons and Desmond Weeks, foul, so to speak.
Yeah.
These people, they can't, there was a time when you had enough panis all around Barbados.
Yeah.
Many people playing steel band. I used to play in my younger days, and that is many moons ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And right now you got a guitar, but I don't even know how to play a note on the guitar.
I wanna jump here, Sluggy, too.
Go ahead, buddy.
Okay. Onward, ever upward. The building at Parkinson that was supposed to be renovated to a creative arts center. That was one of the initiatives they had there. And the thought process behind that was to rename it the Warner, Clifford, and Yearwood Creative Arts Center. Honoring Victor Clifford, who was an amazing, amazing actor. Mr. Padmore can speak to him. And of course, the great Edwin Yearwood in the aspect of music. You know, those are three Parkinsonians that stood up in areas of art that, you know, exceptional performances in their various disciplines.
Yes. Yes. Minister Lane, I want to engage you here for a second, Minister Lane. You saying something, Pressy?
I just want to say I claim some part of my limited intelligence to Parkinson school. At least I spend a month at Parkinson.
He gets and that honorary membership there.
Got to boy, like Minister Lane, like me learning a couple years ago, Shirley Chisholm went to school in Barbados. Me now learning for the first time that the house right there adjacent to Buster Statue, the man who created the flag. Randy only teaching me a couple years ago that the very desk is still there, you know, something so monumental, something so historic. And learning these things that you said, even yourself, say you and people in the room learning now, do you think we making sure these things become normal, that everyone knows it, do you think these could have some sort of effect on the youth if we teach the children these things from younger? Because a lot of our heroes we look to is from foreign, but if we learn, well, the man that created the flag, daddy host there, you know that something so simple, sir, like something so simple like that, it may not seem that anything big to people, but just knowing that you the man created the flag host right there, you know what I mean? There's the desk here that the man created the Barbados flag, man, boy. You know, like,
so here again, say something real simple and short on this, because the calls they are backing, and they know how it is with the pressure with the calls. I didn't forget yet. But the thing is about this is this, though. Even those little things, people think that they are insignificant. So then we don't push it. But the children in school there could feel so much more sense of pride to know that this is the place this was done. You understand? That's a reason for it. The other thing that I want to say on this real quick, right? Is yes, that please. I feel that we lack confidence. We think that because we come from a small country that we must be small. I myself, I had a mentor who pulled me up on this year. When we highlight things that Barbadians do, I used to freak out. I used to don't freak out, you know, because, I mean, in terms of probability and numbers, it would be lower. But if you take somebody from Australia, you take somebody from Finland, you take somebody from Barbados, and you cut them up on the head, the brain is the same size, though. So we can produce just like anybody, anywhere in the world. And we got to feel confident about our product, about who we are. What people come and market. That's how the influences start. You know what I mean? It's market these things to me. We feel that we must have Kellons. We can't go Barbadian corn and do what we want to. We can't go Barbadian product. It ain't got the value. You understand? So that's why
you think it's inferior.
This cultural discussion is very, very, very important. With that said, we could go over to the calls.
Gentlemen, I just want to introduce to you Mr. Hamilton Lashley. He's here on the line along with Mr. Padmore.
Good evening. Good evening, Mr. Lashley. Welcome to Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme. We have the Honorable Trevor Prescott, Minister Lane, and educator and cultural practitioner, Mr. Eastman. We got Cal Padmore is also on the line with you. Thanks for calling in, sir.
Let me say to you that Hamry Lai is my twin brother.
Yes, it's true. It is true. Good evening, sir. The floor is all yours, sir.
So thank you very much. I thank you.
You're welcome.
I prefer if you refer to me as Hamila from the Pain.
Hamila from the Pain.
I really want to begin because I'm finding this discussion today to be extremely, extremely good and very informative. But I wanted to get in to say a few things. The late, great Walter Rodney once said that identity precedes participation. And if I study it carefully, it has a lot to do with what Corey is trying to, what Corey is doing, what Trevor is doing, what Alf have done, Mr. the gentleman at Partisan School, who's with us today. And I am saying, against that background, every single community across this country has its own heroes, has its own identity. And I would like to see in Barbados a national program being implemented to identify those heroes within each community.
Yes.
For instance,
yes.
You got the Pinelands community. At the end, at the corner of the Pine East West Boulevard, a billboard or something similar could be erected. You're welcome to the Pine community, the home of the Pinelands Creative Workshop, the home of this person, all of the outstanding athletes, all of the outstanding persons in those communities should be recognized with this national identity of those outstanding persons within each community across Barbados. Again, identity precedes participation. It brings about a measure of stability. It will bring about a love for community, a love for country. People would feel proud of their communities when they realize that these outstanding persons within these particular constituencies. Look at the constituency of let's say, Tweedside Road, Carrington Village. We have a number of outstanding, great people have come out of this community. That roundabout could be
true.
To identify those persons. And every yes. You have Wales Football Club. We could go on and
yes.
You identify
yes.
the clubs. You identify you go into the Orleans. You identify the outstanding persons in those communities right across the island. The level of civility that is being shown in Barbados now will be further emasculated and further perpetuated because every club, you know, I come from the point. You know who to come from. You find my point of the creative workshop. Stinking Amila, you know, identify with your communities in a very positive and a very sensitive way, and you bring that feeling of community mindedness. And you know, it is very, very important. The other point that they want to make though is Parkinson School. I mean, I went there, Presley went there. I also went to Parkinson Secondary School. One of the pioneers of culture in Barbados at the local community level is the Pinelands Creative Workshop, who used Parkinson Secondary School as their home base. And perhaps they were one of the keenest exponents of community drama in a very practical way, identifying the problems within the community and putting those problems on stage, not only putting the problems, but bringing solutions to them. Years ago, they did a production called Me don't know how do you get so of age and innocent. And that place sold out for 6 consecutive weeks. We were threatened by the police, by all of the established associations back then in 1992. And when we identify the problems in these communities across the island, they are beginning to show now. What I am saying, there's an urgent need, particularly to bring about this, bring about that particular discipline of community drama back across communities in Barbados. But more importantly to me is to identify those outstanding. Here you talk about Earl Warren, Pinelands Creative Workshop, Parkinson Secondary School, and all the schools across this country should create their own community-based Hall of Fames and identify those persons that went to the schools so that the students that go into those schools will identify with these outstanding national personalities that either reside or some of them have passed. But again, I refer back to Walter Rodney. bottom of it, identity precedes participation. Snuggy, Brezzy. Hello.
Yeah. Well, yes. Again, don't move, Hamila. Don't move, Hamila, from the point. I want to get Pressy remarks. I want to get Trevor remarks on that, and I want to get Minister Lane's remarks on that as well.
Sluggy, what I must tell you is 25 minutes before 8. You've got a few minutes left on your show. We also have another caller, so just want you to be conscious of that for me.
No problem. Thank you very much, Ollie. Oliver Norville on the inside the control tower. Go ahead, Pressy.
No, I would prefer to allow the caller to come in. Let me hear some of the other persons.
Well, here the caller remarks. No problem. Good evening. Welcome to Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme. Let's go.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Yes, please. Do you all know where Mr. Lester Vaughan was brought up in St. Simon?
No, I don't. Can you tell us? Educate us.
I said in St. Simon.
Oh, okay. In St. Simon? Nice. I didn't know that. Yeah. You are from St. Simon as well?
No. I am a Belle Plaine girl. The seventh daughter of a musician and shopkeeper.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it. So,
anyhow, there's something else that I am thinking about independence. The independence thing should be at the garrison, except there is a flood, a storm, or something else. It has nothing to do with cricket, and it should not be at Kensington.
At the Oval. Okay.
It should not be at Kensington. It should be at the garrison.
You want it at the garrison, Savannah? Great start.
Where it was originally and where the rain fell, like, I don't know what, but it still was at the garrison. It is not
where it originated.
It is not a cricket match. And I know about the thing for that independence because I happen to be in a gathering where Sir Cameron Tudor was speaking about the date that they chose for it because they date the 30th of November, St. Andrew's Day, because that was supposed to be patron saint. And that is why it was the 30th of November.
Nice. Hello? I love it. Thank you. I'm here. Thank you for that. I love it. Thank you very, very much for that.
Dougie, I want to interact with the caller just a little bit to see. I agree with her, except for one point. I believe that even if it flood, it should be at the garrison. I, as a scout, marched for 40 years straight. And there's no parade like that than the garrison. No matter where else you put it, it don't got the same feel. So, mommy, the only way going further is to say, even if it flood, it should be at the garrison. We will march with muddy boots.
I did it for 16 years.
It is not a cricket match.
I love it. I garrison too, ma'am. I love it. I garrison too. And you say you're calling.
That's yes, where it I agree. Belongs. Where you're born.
Yes. We agree. We got a couple minutes. Thank that you very much. Yeah, thank you very, very much for. Yeah, same to you. Thank you very much for calling in. Minister Lane, before we go, I can ask you for your final remarks. What does Beijing culture mean to you? And what do you think of when you hear the words Beijing culture? You just heard Hamila and a great idea from him, a great initiative. That's something I'm going to ponder on and let's see how I can make that reality. Love it. But on your quick remarks on what Hamila said.
All right, two things. One, what Beijing culture means for me, it is, as I say, it is excellence. It is the, I only think Beijing culture, I think the smallest, best island in the world. That's the simplest sentence I could put it. But what is good for me to close on a positive note? Because as I say, we like to call for what we would like to see. But I always feel it's also important for us to understand where we came from, where we are, and where we're going. And where we are is... I am proud to say that St. Mary's School has done something like what Hami spoke about, where they have a big mural on the front of the school with all of the cultural icons and the community icons of the area. So, you know, you got the Richard Stone, you got the mighty Gabby and all these people.
Yes,
and
you
could see them right there. And it's something that
Gaki I would like
to see, I see a thousand times more, as he said, in every community. So Emmerton Lane, yes. Bayser Hall Street, Arlene, Chapman Lane, they've already started implementing that through the St. Mary's School. And I would like to see all the different schools, communities to, you know, influence on this. So I will leave it there.
Garrison Secondary School have one as well.
Correct. Time Bonnie, so I can leave that one there.
Yeah, I love
only
it.
Only the rest say that time, Bonnie.
Yes. Pressy, and then Mr. Eastman, Pressy.
Yes. What I would say is that these are, Barbados is a relatively new nation.
Yeah.
And I, as I said to you before, these countries up to the 1960s were still colonies. What it means is that in order to help that national consciousness to emerge, there's a necessity to have an intensive educational program like this one, whether you choose to call it formal or informal.
Informal, agree.
The only way you're going to see a rapid and revolutionary change in the way how people think is if the education, which as I said, should be driven by the culture of the people, if the educational program, formal and informal, help us to shape that national consciousness, which I believe is seriously needed in the society itself. But yes. I believe that we're moving a bit slow, but I don't know if it's because of the financial constraints of government. But
yes.
But Blaine also made the point that outside of the state, the citizens and whoever can help us to make that transition that is necessary.
Which is a good point, but it's something that is necessary. So whether we want to agree with Mr. Lane or not, what he said is absolutely necessary. It can't work one way or the other. We need the state, yes, need to educate, like you said, but for it to work, us, the citizens, we need to also play our part, or it's not going to work one way or the next. So I totally agree. Mr. Eastman, your closing remarks, my brother.
My brother, thank you for having me.
Yes,
I would
pleasure.
Say that Bajan culture for me represents a bread football of excellence, a bread football of substance. That's what we represent in Barbados, a bread football of access. And I want to highlight access. The term I want to use, I can't, I'll go the opposite direction and say highlighting our blackness.
Yes.
Otherwise, I would use another phrase, but for fear of having Sluggy show shut down, I wouldn't.
Correct, Star.
Good idea.
I want to support Hamina from the Pine and what he said about the billboards in every community, highlighting our heroes, highlighting
that's a great idea.
Would have made it happen. I think now reformation not only of the education system is important, but reformation of the mind. And again, bringing it back home, a bright football of substance highlighting our blackness.
Yes. And we still have Alf on the line, Pressy. We still have Alf on the line, Ollie.
Unfortunately, he's gone, but we do have Mr. Lashley still.
Mr. Lashley, leave the closing remarks with you. I love your idea, and I would love to get your closing remarks. And before you go, I just want to tell you thanks so much for calling in, and thanks for tuning in.
Okay, thanks very much, Sluggy. What I want to say is that beginning now with this cultural revolution that we are creating in Barbados that we have started must be perpetuated throughout each and every community in this country. This is a new awakening. This is a new beginning in terms of identity. I always like to refer to Walter Rodney's special speech that he gave, and I took that one out particularly. Identity precedes participation. If we don't have an identity of ourselves and who we are, then we don't know where we are going. So I want to close on that.
I love it. Shout outs to everyone locked on. Dion, love you. Thanks for locking on. All the time on my family in Canada, everyone from overseas messaging. Loving the show so far. I think it was a wonderful show as well. Again, lots of very positive messages. Ollie, thank you so much for controlling things, my brother. Lou the Bajan there still? Lou can get I want to get man. The final word. The final word is from you, Lou. Everybody, thank you so much. Minister Lane, thanks for coming on. It was a wonderful show, and I agree with you. These conversations are important. We need to continue them. Pressy, thank you so much, my brother. Mr. Eastman, did not know you there right through his management, so you don't got no choice. So I'm actually telling you thank you because you're running everything. You're running everything behind the scenes. Lou, you are a youngster. You know, you're very early 20s. So closing remarks from you. What does Bajan culture mean to you as a young man? People, thanks for tuning in. Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, your boy Sluggy. And I'm out.
What Bajan culture means to me, man. There's a long answer to that, but because of the short time, I think that what I can say is Bajan culture, what it means to me is just being a part of a people that just a unspoken connection that you can't put into words. There's a long answer to that, but because of the time, it's just that unspoken connection with the people of this island that just you can't put into words. That's what Bajan culture means to me.
Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, Saturdays from 6:30.